You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Oh yeah. Yankees 4-0. Mets 0-3. Yankees tonight in Phoenix. Mets playing the Tigers. A lot of baseball to talk about. Time for Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers, and, you know, one of my favorite people is Jeff Passan. Boy, is he great covering the sport that I love for ESPN.
He's a decent man, too.
He is. And really, to see him hurt me. Because do we have the cuts, the drops? This is Jeff's drop.
Smoke weed every day.
And this is the opposition of Jeff.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's Peter's wife, and she won Drop Madness. And let's bring in Jeff right now. Jeff, as your friend, and I hope you consider me a friend, I wasn't working when this took place. So I want to apologize to you from the bottom of my heart. I think it was wrong what happened, and I think there were weird things going on.
Michael K., there's still some things that are sacred in this world. Like, I believe in 1-0 baseball games, and I believe in pastrami sandwiches from Katz's, and I believe in riding the subway to Yankee Stadium in Citi Field. And until last week, I believed in the Michael K. Show.
Oh, boy.
And then voting for the Drop Madness round of 32 took place. And I happened to be seated fifth, and I thought I had a decent chance of advancing.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize was that this was an inside job. It was completely rigged. It was the sort of nepotism that should embarrass everyone involved.
Oh, and it embarrasses me.
If I lose to Bob Costas saying, get blunted with Rosses, that's cool. It could be Bob taking a leak or Terry taking a dump. That's fine, too. But Miss Hatton saying, oh, my God, that's what I'm out on?
I know.
Now, I believe the fine listeners and callers of the Michael K. Show know better, so I'm not going to blame this so-called vote on them. And despite, Michael, your pass it, sell by date, man crush on Steve Young. I don't think you're at fault here either, because you've got too much integrity to jeopardize the good name of your show on account of shameful actions. But you, Peter Rosenberg, you the man who spends his leisure time around the double-crossing ways of the WWE. You, the person who sees The Rock and Roman Reigns saying that they would do anything for their family, including smashing a man's face into a bus. That's what you did to me, Peter. And if you can't respond, like, that's fine. I'll listen. But when you're done, and I have heard your lies and obfuscation and avoidance of a truth that is too ugly to acknowledge, you know what I'm going to say? Oh, my God. Because if you think that's a winning drop, you really do smoke weed every day.
Wow.
Can I defend Peter?
I don't know what to say, how hurt I am by this. Go ahead, Don, please.
Yeah. I know the feeling, buddy.
What bothers me is our listeners, because this was a big drop back in the day, Jeff.
Hi, Robin.
There's a certain segment of our audience just hearing the female voice just sends them into a tizzy. Now, a lot of these people, the reason I thought that you still had a chance.
So you're saying that your listeners are incels, Peter?
Yeah,
that's right.
And what I'm saying is that I still thought you had a chance because those people also enjoy weed. But the face-off was clearly won by just the female voice, which in some of these people that were voting is a rarity. The weed's a lot more available than the woman.
Now, listen, I'm not going to dignify. I'm not going to dignify the accusations, because obviously they're ludicrous and we all know that. So I'll just get to the real issue here. You know, the fact is your drop is hilarious and we all enjoyed it. When it happened on the show, it was a great moment. I of course, appreciate it. Michael and Don obviously don't even quite know what it's from. But for me and for a lot of listeners, the drop means something. That being said, Don's right about one thing. A bunch of pervos listen to this show. And number two, you know, we talk about the usability of a drop quite a bit. As much as we love smoke weed every day, it doesn't get nearly the play that Oh My God does on a daily basis. And maybe that's a factor.
Why does Oh My God get a play on a daily basis? Maybe, I mean, if it was just some random lady from Yonkers saying it, would it get the play that it does? Wow,
what a good point.
Wow. Don't know.
That's all right.
Don't know about that, buddy.
It's hard to argue that, Peter.
Miss Hatton has weighed in. She just sent me a text message. She has weighed in. Her direct quote, and I quote, is, "The people have chosen. Better luck next time, pal." That's a quote from Miss Hatton.
Of course. It's very easy for her to say when the election is rigged. You know, that's what
you know, you sound like a lot of you sound like a lot of politicians in this country right now. I'm not going to specify, but sometimes you just need to accept the results and move on, Jeff. You know what I mean?
No, here's the thing. I am accepting the results. I'm just simply pointing out that they are full of crap and that they are tainted because of the people involved, well, and that the people should speak up about it, because the power of this show is in the people. It's not in the ones residing in that chair. It's in the ones who choose to listen and keep you on the air.
Well, you know what we should do, Jeff? We should get a group of people together and storm Peter's apartment.
Wow.
That's where you're going to go?
Wow.
Well, you know what the crazier part is, Michael? Before you get to storming my apartment, I heard a phone call, a private phone call. And it was Jeff talking to Anthony Pusick, and he's going, "I just need you to find me 200 votes. Find me 200 votes, and I win this thing."
Wow.
It was a perfect call. Okay, it was a perfect call.
Well, Jeff, I apologize. Again, I wasn't there. Maybe I could have changed things. Peter does do nefarious things. There's no arguing about that. So I apologize.
Am I going to see you at WrestleMania, Jeff? What's going on?
No, I'm going to be at SummerSlam. Actually, SummerSlam's in Cleveland this year, and I'm from Cleveland. And me and a bunch of my high school buddies are going to get together and bring in my younger son as well. So,
all right, deal. I'll settle.
Except for the part where I see you.
Oh.
All right. So
Cole is going to rant about the Mets to me, and Michael Cole's his both love and hatred of the Mets at the same time is my favorite thing.
I need you to do me a favor. We're talking about Michael Cole, the voice of WWE. He'll be calling Raw tonight. He'll be calling WrestleMania on Saturday and Sunday. I need you. I've asked him once before to come on, and he was busy. Don't you think that Cole calling this show to rant about the Mets would be insanely good radio?
It would be incredibly good radio, and, you know, a week ago I would have done it, but now I can't trust
you. I don't blame you.
Position.
You know?
Don't forget. I always say that. Don't forget. All right, Jeff, let's move on to baseball. I remember a story you wrote, I think it was 2 years ago. That's the thing. I mean, I don't get to see Juan Soto that much, but you wrote a story where you laid it out that you can really compare him to Ted Williams over the first couple of years. Just watching this guy every pitch, Jeff, over the weekend, he's something different, man, and he's 25 years old. Is there anything that happened this weekend in Houston that made you think differently about the Yankees?
Yes, and here's the thing. I don't jump to conclusions after four games, and I'm not going to sit here and say that my concerns about the Yankees were wrong, because they are still a team that's on the older side. They are still a team that's gotten injured, you know, a fair bit through the years, and they are still a team, most of all, that doesn't have Gerrit Cole for the next 2 months and perhaps beyond that. That being said, the way that offense produced, and particularly the at-bats that Juan Soto took, it completely transforms this team. And I thought he was going to have the same effect last year on the San Diego Padres. And even though he had a very Juan Soto-like season, the rest of the guys around him simply didn't produce. But seeing that lineup and how relentless it was this weekend against a bullpen that, remember, the Astros are spending a lot of money on every year. I mean, Josh Hader, $20 million. Rafael Montero, $10 million. Ryan Presley, $10 million. Like, this is a $50 or so million bullpen when you include everyone in it. And four times they came back on. I mean, they just made them look ineffectual. And, man, seeing that offense this weekend made me think, okay, you know, they are going to hit. And despite the concerns I may have about their pitching, and still do have, because I don't know that the bullpen is going to hold up the way it has, and Clay Holmes certainly was a little bit wobbly a couple of times, but despite those concerns, they may just hit their way out of it. And that's a hell of a thing to see, because the Yankees offense hasn't looked like this in a good long while.
I wanted to get my Met one in before you go, and I'm not worried about 0-3 because the Brewers seem to own them. And, you know, you don't have DJ Martinez yet and all that, but they got punked again.
JD. Saying DJ.
I don't know why I do that.
Come on, man.
All right, you know what? I'm going to tap out. Jeff, have a good day.
Take it easy, Don.
All right.
Don, go ahead.
He's not going to do it. He's going to lay out now.
Oh, man, he keeps saying DJ.
Come on
like
back.
He's spinning, you know, vinyl.
Well, because there is DJ LeMahieu in the same market.
That's fair.
You know, there is a reason
for it. So, Don,
I'm
sorry I said it. Please go on.
And Martinez hasn't been here. He hasn't even hit yet for the Mets, so give me a break.
All right, there you go.
All right?
Try again.
You can't even say the town that I'm from.
Great point.
Hawthorne.
All right? And you had the Yankees going after a different Bellinger the entire year.
Oh, boy.
Am I wrong?
That happened too.
All right. So things happen, but when they happen to me, Jeff, anyway, we fight on. I think they got punked, and they've been getting punked for years now. Hoskins resides in their head. I'm of the belief that if you're Jeff O'Neill and you're going to get mad, punch him. Because there's only you can't get redemption in baseball anymore. All right? So if a guy's standing over you screaming, don't jog back to the dugout and then start acting like tough guy when you got all your buddies in front of you. But the Mets don't retaliate at all. He owns them on Saturday. And then after the game's already established big lead, then you throw at him. I mean, the Mets have been thrown at for years. There's been no retaliation. They're called crybabies by everybody. You're around Major League Baseball. Am I wrong to feel this way? Do they just look like a punkable team that you can push around? Because they are to me, and I root for them.
I don't think that they've got that reputation around baseball. But, you know, there's a fair number of people who think that Jeff McNeil is like that.
Okay.
And, you know, in this situation, I went back and I looked at that replay a bunch. And here's what I took away from that slide. It is a completely legal slide. Mm-hmm. And Rhys Hoskins lifting his foot at the end of the slide and it going into Jeff McNeil's ankle. Again, legal as part of the slide, but I don't blame McNeil for being pissed off, because anytime you get metal spikes dug at high speeds into your ankle area, it's going to freaking hurt. And if you look at Rhys Hoskins and the way he slides, you know, he doesn't slide early. He doesn't slide late, though. A late slide is an illegal slide. His slide is a good, hard baseball slide. And I think McNeil, in the moment, was angry, and understandably so, but you got to keep your composure there. You just have to, because you're right. Rhys Hoskins is in their head. Fully in their head. And that's not the way you want to start off a season if you're the New York Mets, even if it is a transition season.
Dodgers look pretty good, but I'm wondering, is this all we're going to hear about the Ohtani stuff? Is this it? Or are we going to find stuff out? And also, one other thing. And I'm not blowing smoke. You're one of the most respected writers in the game.
That's right.
Why is it allowed for this guy to speak once? I mean, Aaron Judge speaks every day. Francisco Lindor speaks every day. This guy speaks once. Why is it allowed?
Yes, because the organizations hold Aaron Judge and Francisco Lindor accountable and say that it is a necessity for your job. The Los Angeles Angels never did that, and they established this practice where that's what is expected out of Shohei Ohtani now. And shame, because I think if we knew him a little bit better and if we understood who he was, then maybe we would have different feelings about him and all of the skepticism and cynicism about who actually placed those bets would not exist. Maybe he would get the benefit of the doubt more, but that's a choice that he's made. And it's one that I have to acknowledge and understand is the reality. Even if I disagree with it, I don't know what Shohei Ohtani's life is like. Michael, if you were to have 50 people trailing around every day looking for the tiniest little thing that you do because it warrants a story back in your home country where you're seen as a demigod and that arguably the most popular person in the entire nation, maybe you would be a little bit different, or maybe you would have a little bit different perspective. I understand in our little world of baseball, and that's what it is. In the grand scheme of things, it's a little world. Aaron Judge and Francisco Lindor are stars. They are the creme de la creme, but nobody is like Ohtani, where an entire country is hanging on every word you say, and every word you say is a potential landmine to be misinterpreted and taken out of context and all the other things that happen in the media by people who are less responsible. So I think more than anything for Ohtani, it's him trying to protect himself. But in trying to protect himself here, he's left himself more vulnerable. And it's an ironic outcome to a situation that I think is going to continue on for quite a while, because I do not see this investigation wrapping up anytime soon. And all I can hope, as somebody who is a fan of Shohei Ohtani as a baseball player and finds him to be maybe the most magnificent I've ever seen in my 21 years covering the game, I do hope the story that he's telling is true and that he's a victim and not part of something that they're trying to cover up.
All right, two things, though. I was around with Matsui. Now, he wasn't as big in the States as Ohtani, but he was gigantic in Japan. He spoke every single day. Second thing I want to ask you, does MLB really want to find anything?
Do they want to? Of course not. Do I think that the league would potentially put itself in a position where there was some kind of a cover-up that, if it were exposed, and let me tell you, most things do eventually get exposed, the truth usually does come out, it would absolutely ruin the people who are in charge and the people who made that decision. I don't think they're that short-sighted, and I don't think they're that dumb. But I also don't put it past anyone to be short-sighted and dumb, which is why I will continue to be skeptical. I will continue to have that little twinge of cynicism, because that's what a good reporter should do. Like, the company line, buying it, trust but verify, right? I trust that you're telling me the truth. I hope that you're telling me the truth, but I'm damn sure going to go and verify it.
Like what's going on with
our duty is as reporters. That's exactly right. In this situation, I trust my instinct, and my instinct tells me that something is rotten as hell.
Your instinct's right.
Yeah, I think now, so too.
Before we let you go, Jeff Passan is our guest. Give me a number. Give me a number. What is Soto making per year at the end of the season?
$50 million
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple different ways this can go. This could be an AAV play where the average annual value breaks the highest mark. Right now, if you look at Shohei Ohtani, and you take that net present value as opposed to the value without deferrals, yes, he's going to get paid $70 million eventually for every year that he plays with the Dodgers. But the actual present value of that's about $46.8 million. There are other different calculations that are lower than that, but let's just use that. You could do that, or you could go for total value and look at, 500 plus. But again, all of this depends, Michael, on how the next 158 games go more than they do how the first four games went. And to me, one of the biggest things that Soto has to do, no one will ever question his ability to hit. He is a generationally good hitter. But if he can shore up his defense and can play the way that he did over the first four games, the throw, the sliding catch, I mean, clutch plays, and sound defense in right field, nobody will have a thing to say about him other than, how much would you like me to write onto this blank check, sir?
Jeff, I'm sorry you have to go through what you went through this weekend. I truly apologize.
Oh, by the way, Natalie has written again, and she started listening after the conversation started, and she said, now I'm sad I won this round. I really like him. So, there you go, Jeff.
Well, what does that mean, Jeff? What is that? That doesn't help you.
All it means is that she likes Jeff.
Yeah, that's fine. I appreciate it.
But it doesn't change anything.
Sure.
Sorry, doesn't fix the lamp.
But she didn't do anything wrong. She didn't make, you know, this is, Don, it's kind of like victim blaming. I mean, she didn't make these pervos vote for her. She didn't even tell anyone to vote.
No, she married you.
Well, that she deserves blame for. There's no question. Fair point.
Thanks, Jeff.
Later, buddy. Know,
all this time, I just thought Natalie was an extremely talented photographer. And I come to find out that she's an election rigger, and it's just
sad, right? It's sad. Really is. I'm sorry, Jeff. I really am.
I'll see you in Cleveland, buddy.
Looking forward to it. See you guys.
Bye. That was Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Their wedding band event is April 4th through the 7th. Visit londonjewelers.com for more information. Now, we have more Drop Madness coming, but Peter, I'm going to risk something right now.
What?
So, after I jump Don for saying DJ Martinez, he says he's dropping out, right?
Yeah. Right.
And then we get him to actually re-engage,
yeah,
which I was thrilled about.
Right.
And in the re-engagement, he said, what do you think about what Jeff O'Neill did? Jeff O'Neill.
No, he didn't, did he?
Yeah. I knew I said, I just let it go.
Do you have it, Anthony? Can we hear it?
Oh, Hoskins please. Resides in their head. I'm of the belief that if you're Jeff O'Neill and you're going to get mad,
Jeff
punch
O'Neill.
Him.
I mean, come tough. On.
He's the brother of Ed O'Neill, the fine.
McNeil,
and the cousin
McNeil.
Of Paul.
I'm talking extemporaneously. You make mistakes too, and it's fun. No, but I'm saying it's treated as fun, like the Bellinger all year, right? You, Corey, Cody couldn't figure it out.
Yeah,
and we'd laugh, and then we'd let you move on, but we don't sit there and like play it back, and everybody gang up on me that I'm the stupid one. You won, Michael. You got your name on the show. You're the big head freak. You won.
See, I told you, Peter, I shouldn't have done it, but I had to.
You shouldn't have.
Don, the former Maple Leaf, Jeff O'Neill?
Mm. Well, the thing is, there's always a reason behind it.
That's right.
Because Jeff O'Neill's a talk show host in Toronto, and I go on with him all the time. We talk because he wanted, I usually help him with the football stuff off the season. We become friends. And you know, my head's in hockey all the time, so there's always a reason for it.
Right.
It's not like I can't do it, Peter.
No.
It's just that I'm talking about Jeff McNeil, but I've just engaged recently with Jeff O'Neill, the hockey player.
I get it, Don.
DJ, JD.
It's hard.
Again, I'm used to DJ LeMahieu. Now Martinez is here, so you don't.
Yeah.
You see it, don't you? But
sure,
Michael just assumes because of Rampo College and he's so much smarter than me that I'm a moron.
Right.
And he's hanging on the rim. I'm laying on the court. He just dunked on me, and now he's got to lift his leg, too. Like, he just can't stop. Just rubbing it in my face that he's smarter than me, that he's better than me, that he's richer than me. It really just makes me sick.
Oh, my God.
And I'm proud of him, and I'm going to refer to him as Jeff O'Neill now for the rest of the season. What does it matter anyway? You're going to go 1-0-162. But back to reality. He maybe said the Mets aren't crybabies, but sounds like McNeil's a crybaby. That's not a good look for him, right?
You know what I need to do, guys?
That's what's being talked about around Major League Baseball.
Can you please let Don go, Peter? Don't interrupt him.
No, do it. No, because he's got Drop Madness. There's more important things than, you know, where I stand.
I don't feel that way. All right, guys, let me start off with Drop Madness in the Flub region. Things are getting... This is intense now. This is very, very intense. What are we, Sweet 16 here, Anthony?
This will determine the Sweet 16.
Oh, this is the final from the round of 32. Okay, here we go. Flub region, 3 seed.
Glass half full.
Uh-oh, this is a big... Michael, You already think Don's in a mood?
Yeah, this is not
What good. If the sixth seed wins?
Hit the post, but the backhand, that one won!
Yeah, it's...
Are you
Jacob
kidding?
Doesn't work these days for some reason.
Yeah, Michael, this could all go bad if that goes to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, this is going to go... So, it is. Look, did you see? It's up
no,
to 73.5 to 26.5.
Oh, boy, it's over early. Let's go to the funny region, the three seed.
See ya!
Up against the 11 seed.
I've got a team that stinks!
Now, that could be a great matchup. That could really be a lot of fun. TNT 807 tip. Let's go to the troubling region, the 3 seed.
Your face against the freaking television screen, and you can't remember who didn't bunt!
Up against the 11 seed.
People suck!
I love this matchup. It really shows the crazed nature of both of the of my co-hosts on this program. Let's go to the nether region. Oh, boy. What a run it's been for the 3 seed.
He stinks.
Michael, as a man who loves the language, don't you appreciate that he pronounces every letter in the word stinks?
Yep, all 5 of them.
It's really special. Up against the 11 seed.
What is your take on sausage?
You can
actually
go vote.
6.
You can go vote on your Twitter X vehicle, TMKS ESPN. Vote right now. Voting ends at 6:20.
Peter, don't you think that Don gets personal with me when I'm just trying to entertain? I'm being performative, and he really, you could see the things he
really
thinks.
But you're being performative at somebody's expense.
Well, that's what we
there,
do all day.
But it's
that's
the comedian poking at the fun at the fat guy in the first row. It's like, listen, I'm just doing what I do.
So you would have punched Don Rickles
but
in the face.
Point, no, but here's the thing. Don Rickles gets paid to make fun of people in the audience. So you're getting paid to just make fun of me?
Well,
I make
know.
Fun of everybody.
And
you
know
make
what?
Fun
the,
of me.
The comedian doesn't have a relationship with the fat guy in the first row. But we have a relationship.
That's a drop. By the way, guys, it's all about, I think, feeling secure. And hey, it's Peter Rosenberg from Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Come get some. If you're worried about inflation, Security Dodge is turning back the clock with this amazing deal. Zero down, $199 a month. That's right. Inflation buster deal on a brand new 24 Dodge Hornet RT. $199 a month, 24 months, zero down. Go see Michelle Scalise during their Dodge Power Shot days and come get some.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Player of the week was announced. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. of the Diamondbacks in the National League. He was 8 for 17, 3 homers and 10 ribbies. Juan Soto for the Yankees. 9 for 17, a home run, 4 ribbies.
Yay!
Yeah. Let's go to Dave in East Hampton. Oh, Diane, I'm sorry.
Hi there. David's my brother. I know you didn't know that, but David was my brother. Anyhow, good to talk to you guys.
Hi.
And Michael, I just want you to know, Michael, I heard in your voice the first game that you did the first Astro game, I said, he doesn't sound right. I was thinking that maybe you had a cold, so hoping that's not the case. Anyhow, I wanted
I think it started from a cold, Diane.
Okay. Well, I hope it just take care of it, that's all.
Thanks.
He's doing
I'm going to try.
There you go.
Go get cough drops.
There you go.
So I'm a Yankee fan who, or one of those people that, you know, you get to the point in the season where you know that they're going to have to play the Astros, and the first thing in your head is, oh, my God, the Astros are going to have home field advantage. That's not going to happen this year. We already know that that's not going to happen this year because they'll play the Astros only three more games, and that's in May, and no matter what, we're already ahead of the game.
But so what if the Astros win more games?
I thought it's only if, according to who won more games.
No. Like, if the Astros win 98 games and the Yankees win 93 and they meet each other, then it doesn't matter about the tiebreaker. They both have to have the exact same amount of games before you got to a tiebreaker. So they both have to win, like, 92 games. So they have that in their back pocket if they're, in fact, tied.
Yeah, but it won't mean anything if, you know, the Astros have a better record.
Right.
No, but I just think it's good psychologically, because we were talking about it, Michael, before the season started. They own the Yankees. And I know you that they had that that three-game winning streak, but in big spots, that's your new rival. I mean, there's Yankee fans of a certain age that hate the Astros way more than the Red Sox. And that was big. Yeah, it's the first four games of the season, but I thought who it was against was bigger than probably the record itself.
Let's go to Ken in Connecticut.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, first of all, Peter, I saw your tweet about your initial Yankee fandom and the undefeated aspect of it. I just want to say thank you, first of all. Just putting it out there. But also, I haven't been this like giddy since a series sweep. Since I don't know if you guys remember this, like the Boston Massacre of 2006. That five-game series in August where just, like, the Yankees ran through the Red Sox in Fenway.
Right.
That's the last time you were giddy about a series. That's a long time. That's 18 years ago. Yeah, that's 18 years ago.
And they've won a World Series since then.
Like this? Yeah. But the Yankees haiku is really what I called in about.
That's right.
All right.
He chose us, Michael.
I hope you enjoy it. I was on hold for a bunch of shows, hung up. All that. Respect you guys. That's what it's about.
All right.
So here we go. Clean sweep. Oh, so sweet. Houston, we gave you problems. Just one, baby. Next.
Well, that was good.
Wow.
That's his best one so far.
That was really nice.
Can I say something that's going to upset a lot of people? Not a fan of haiku. Never have been. Don't quite understand
it. Nor I, but I like what he's trying to do. And we won him over, Michael, because he was dropping that high Q on any show that would take it. And we told him he had to pick a show, and he picked us.
Now, Don, he said something about Peter. Peter had to get up and walk away because there was no reaction whatsoever.
Well, what did he say? I didn't hear. I was here.
Well, see what I mean, Don?
I'm here. What did he say? What did he say about me that I missed? He said
he thanked you for choosing the Yankees.
Yeah, and you didn't say a word back to him.
And you were taking credit for the going 4-0, and he said thank you, and it got nothing. He got eggs.
Oh, I did hear it. It didn't register with me.
You didn't hear it. You're lying.
What do you mean? Of course I
You're
heard
lying.
It.
You did not it? Hear it.
Well,
had heard it, you would have responded.
What do you think I would have said?
Thanks, man.
I know I'm great. I know what I did, okay? I know what I've brought to the table. It's called 4-0. I don't have anything else left to do for this team.
God, well, you know, he won't own it. I respect it.
I'm going to win another 158 and then talk to me. He should be thanking me. What can I say? And, by the way, Don and I have turned his bit into a thing. And I got to tell you, I don't like haiku either. And I don't like the fact that Don calls it haiku.
When did I do that?
You just did. You pronounce it haiku.
Well, I'm having fun with it. I can't even...
You got to leave Don alone. Everybody has to leave him alone.
No, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry, Don. I was kidding. It wasn't a big deal. Someone's going to catch it today, and I don't know who it's going to be.
It's inhumane.
It could be.
It is.
Yeah. You never know. He is one Jeff O'Neill away from derailing.
Or DJ Martinez. Let's go to Joseph in Queens.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Listener.
What's up?
First of all, if Peter's lying about hearing what the guy just said, he definitely rigged the election.
Of course he did.
Wait.
Of course he did.
How would I have rigged? There's no way I could have rigged the election.
You can buy followers.
He knows how to do it, Joe.
Actually, you know what, he knows how to do it. That did happen in years past. But I don't know how to do that. But I know it's a thing.
You have all of your people from Hot 97. You probably told them, please vote for my wife.
You really think I did that?
Yeah, I do.
That is so sad that you think that. Why do I even bother?
Why do you? Well, Joseph, what else you have, babe?
I wanted to hit up Don. You know, he's getting all the hate today. Rangers hockey tonight, big game. I'm honestly a little concerned because last time when they played the Penguins at the end of the season, Tyler Mott went out with an injury. And you want to win the division. You want to win the conference because you don't want to play Tampa.
That's it.
You can't play all your star players. It's going to be a tough matchup, always is.
Here's the weird thing about hockey. I was thinking about this. Like in baseball, you would empty the benches, right, Michael? You'd play all of your backups. In football, you got a 53-man roster. You'd be able to play the backup quarterback. What are the Rangers going to do? They've got one extra forward, and they've got two extra defensemen. That's if Gustafson is okay, and he's not right now. So they only have one extra defenseman. So who are you resting? And playing Jonathan Quick, he's got 17 wins, so it's not like you're really taking that much of a step back. So I really don't know how you're resting anybody. Laviolette said he's going to treat every game singular. I want to win that game. He's not thinking about any other game but beating Pittsburgh. So theoretically, he wants to win out. And there is value to winning the President's Trophy because then you would get, an easier draw in the first round because Tampa is like the NHL version of the Miami Heat. No matter where they finish, it's going to be a tough out. You don't want that tough of an out in the first round of the playoffs. So I don't know how you can get around having to play everybody. Now, you might be able to reduce minutes and all that, but they're going to go with this roster. And they got a collective 14-1-1 record, Michael, against the teams they have left on their schedule. They've got a 3-point lead for the President's Trophy. It's right there for the taking. I wouldn't worry about jinxes. Try to get the best possible record and see if you can't get Washington, Detroit, the Islanders, one of those teams as the eighth seed and to play them in the first round rather than having to deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Can we also congratulate Quickie, most wins by an American-born goalie? Can we do that?
Hey, come on, man.
Hey, beat Ryan Miller. It's really been an incredible story of incredible stories. Quick has been amazing. He would just wanted to kind of extend his career, play with the New York Rangers, the team that he grew up following. And he parlayed it, Michael, into a one-year contract extension. He's broken the record. He's one of the best backup goaltenders in the league. And I think the Rangers feel comfortable that if he had to play in a big game or two, that he'd find a way to win it. So it's really a cool story.
All right, Rangers tonight, right after our show, that's when the coverage begins. So tune in on 98.7.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
taking phone calls right now, talking to you. Fran in Massapequa. Fran.
What's up, guys? Love the show. Love when you guys are all together.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad I started. You know, because I started listening, because I told you I had issues down the dial. So I started listening to you guys in the beginning. I don't know why. I didn't like you guys. And then I just gave it another shot, and I said, you know what, just give him a shot. And I just... I caught on, man, and you guys do an excellent job. And I mean that from a radio listener experience guy. You guys really do a good job when you're all together.
Thank you.
I got a lot of sports issues. I do really good, not really good, but I do good in real life. But my sports life is just horrible. So since the Mets season's over, and I know I'm 59, so I'm saying that facetiously a little and some truth. Since the season's over, and you know that, I mean, everybody's saying they ain't going to sign Pete, they don't want him back, and he's my favorite Met, and I promise that if they got rid of him, that's where I'm going, wherever he goes. Where do you guys think I'll be rooting next year? Do you know, have any idea, or can you give me an opinion of
Cubs.
Where you think?
It feels like the Cubs.
You think so?
But wait a minute, Fran. You like the Mets.
No, I love the Mets. Die
okay,
hard.
So you're going to not root for them if they let Pete go?
No, yeah, because you know what? Listen, this is too much heartache. And I I know all that. Y'all, you're a terrible fan, and that's great. But I did put in, you know, 50 years of this misery. So you can call me whatever you want. I'm not leaving the Bears, who are horrible. I'm not leaving the Islanders, who are horrible. I'm not leaving the Knicks, who, thank God, turned it around. But now, of course, the injury.
Let me stop you, Fran. What happens if they let Pete go and they sign Juan Soto? You're still going to give up on the Mets?
It doesn't mean a thing to me. Well, I would like to talk about him next if you can give me a second.
But let me just say, Fran, if they don't re-sign him, it's not going to be because they're cheap. It's going to be because they believe they could do better. So why wouldn't you see that through to see if they can actually build a better team? Because
look, I'm going to say it again.
All right.
And I love you guys, and I don't want to start an argument with you guys about it. I'm going to say it nice. I'm a 59-year-old Mets fan.
Okay.
It has been brutal. My older brother, who passed away 20 years ago, don't ask me how. We have six sons, my parents. How is he a Yankee fan and all five of us underneath are Mets fans? So that, starting with that. So there's so much involved. I'm just sick of the Mets, and I'm looking for a way out. I know it sounds terrible. I'm going to stick with my other bad team. I'm so fed up with it.
But, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry, man. It doesn't make sense. If they lose Pete Alonso and they sign Max Fried and Juan Soto, you're going to give up on the Mets? It doesn't make sense.
Now, you could disagree. I can understand the frustration, although you're never supposed to give up on your team. And if he's looking for an excuse to tap out, then tap out, man. Don't look for an excuse. Just go. But if they don't re-sign Alonso, you may disagree with it, but it's going to be a baseball move because they will have the money to re-sign him. Well, I don't think I want to give that much money to him. And what if he wants $50 million a year, Michael, and the Cubs are willing to give it to him? As a Met fan, bye, because I think we could better spend that money someplace else, like on Juan Soto and possibly, than to give money to somebody just for the sake of giving it to him. If it's the Wilpons and they don't re-sign him because they can't afford him, they can understand the frustration. But it would be a baseball move. It might end up being the wrong baseball move. But wouldn't you want to see it through? Especially now that it wouldn't be all financial, that it would actually be about, I think we can build a better baseball team. Wouldn't you wait and see if they do before you tap out?
Don, I think you hit it right on. He's looking for a reason to tap out. It doesn't make sense. Pete Alonso's a really good player. But if they let him go and bring in great players, why would you care?
Yeah.
You root for the laundry.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'd hate to see Pete go, but if it makes them a better team by doing it, then by all means, please do it. Because as much as I love the players, I want to see my team win their first championship since 1986. So, I think he's itching to go. Well, then don't look for an excuse. Just go.
And also to say the season's over because they lost three games in Milwaukee, that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't think the Mets are good enough to make the playoffs anyway, but these three games did not, change my mind.
Michael, the Milwaukee's owned them for whatever reason. And if that had happened in the middle of August, you'd be disappointed, but hey, what's the big deal? It's the first three games, so I understand it's a gut punch. But can we see how it plays out? You know, when the Martinez is going to come, that's obviously going to help the offense. I understand 0-3 looks ugly. You look on the other side of town, 4-0. But we could fast forward a month from now and things could be completely reversed, right? That's how baseball is. You're living and dying every single day. But in the end of the day, it's three games.
Let's go to Griffin in Connecticut.
Great. Oh, Griffin. Wow, here we go.
Michael, I love you, and I'm glad that you're back and you're fully healthy.
Okay.
And called the weekend, the Yankee games during the weekend, and during. But I don't like the way that you're attacking Peter today. Peter? I know that that's your plan to attack
Peter. I've been attacking Peter.
Go ahead, let him finish.
Oh, come on, yeah. Come on! You keep saying that he rigged the votes when he didn't rig the votes. Maybe Jeff ended up losing some Yankee fans' votes when he said they weren't going to make the playoffs. Maybe that was a possibility where some Yankee fans were mad at him, so they were not voting for him. Because you know how people use things like that, so that maybe could be a reason. Peter was hosting the show the whole entire time.
Thank you.
He was taking phone calls.
That's
he
right.
was having guests that were coming in.
Sure.
So he never was allowed to go on Twitter. And don't attack Don like you've never made any mistakes before.
Another
when you
great
wanted
point.
The Yankees to sign Clay Bellinger, it was Cody Bellinger, not Clay, and because he made one mistake over DJ Martinez when the guy is yet to even play for the Mets. So he would also maybe was thinking about DJ LeMahieu because of the injury that we got the update about DJ
LeMahieu. Griffin, are you done? Are you done?
He's rolling today.
Well, now you're done. Bye.
Oh, my God. There's something going on there.
He's out. That might be a week for him out.
Wow. Well, wait, but because he had the audacity
the
to
temerity.
Stand up to you?
The temerity.
The temerity?
Wow.
Did you hear?
You can't tell me, Don. You were with him. According to Griffin, Peter was hosting so much heavy lifting, he couldn't be on Twitter.
Well, he kind of
Peter
lost
could
me
be
on that
going
one.
Through heart surgery, and he'd be on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting in front of a computer. I can still go on Twitter. But I he's right about the fact. I mean, it does require a different kind of level of engagement, but I still tweeted.
The only thing that you can accuse Peter of is that did he try to sway the vote on the air? And I don't even think he did that, Peter. You said you were rooting for Natalie to win, but it wasn't like you were really like guilting people into doing it or whatever. And you certainly aren't paying for votes. You don't care about it that much.
Why would I? It's ridiculous. The idea is absurd. And
I hate to be the guy, but I believe that Griffin might have just talked himself off the show.
You know what? You don't like him. You just need to come forward.
You've got
that.
A little bit of an issue. You should be honest about that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him.
No. You can't say that, Michael. You've left him on hold for 2.5 hours sometimes.
I'm trying to, you know, put him in at the right time.
Right, and sometimes the right time is never.
Right.
Because you don't care for him, and that's okay. You can't care for everybody.
I don't dislike him as a person.
No, nobody's saying that, but you're not a big fan of him as a caller. I think you need to own that. That's all right, Peter. Shouldn't he own it?
Absolutely. It's very clear he's not a fan.
You know what?
So now I've made enemies with Griffin, Danny from Long Island, JJ, who never has a good phone call from North Carolina. I'm really doing a good job.
I got to tell you, JJ, well, he wasn't very good the last time he called, right? Friday,
you know,
Peter,
well, a 40% call.
But he did very well up until Friday.
He's 4 good, 6 bad.
Real? Nah, you think, Peter, is it that? He was only bad the one time.
He's a hack.
I don't know why Michael hates these people, but I would say, yeah, he's like a 70%.
He's a hack.
You're
now,
really
Danny is almost 100% caller, but he got on my bad side.
But any chance for redemption?
No, he could call in. I don't have to engage him.
Wow. You guys, you're done. You're done with it.
Yeah, there
you're
are two other people on the show.
Yeah, and two really good people too.
Danny,
hey, I talk for a living.
Oh yeah.
And whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea. Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil. Not your ordinary tea. No, no, no. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.